Now let's ask if school reform is being stalled in the United States. John Dacey suggests that reformist leaders are being steadily replaced. To hear him tell it, Dacey is one of them. He was superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District until last week, when he had to resign under pressure after 3.5 years. Afterward, in an NPR interview, Dacey told us there is a time limit for school reformers.
I think there is. I think there's always the delicate balance of how slow you're willing to go, and then you have to square that with looking youth in the eye and say, well, it's not your turn this year.
So what's really happening in Los Angeles and across the country? We're putting that question to Steve Drummond. He leads NPR's Ed team, and he's in our studios. Welcome back, Mr. Drummond.
Hi, Steve.
So first, when we talk about school reformers, who exactly are we talking about here?
Well, I think Dacey defines it as a group of leaders who've come in promoting some common ideas in education, technology, how to evaluate teachers, the greater parental control in terms of choice, like charter schools. But I think it's not quite that simple.
Okay, so there's a complexity to reform, but there is a group of people across the country, and we'll be talking about that. Are they facing a time limit? When a reformer comes in a big city like Washington or Chicago or New York, is there a limit to how far they can go?
Well, you mentioned that John Dacey lasted 3.5 years. Frankly, that's about average. Reform superintendent or not, the average tenure of an urban school superintendent is about 3.5 years, so he was kind of in the middle.
Is that a good length of time?
There's a lot of discussion in education about the revolving door of urban superintendents. I once spoke with the head of the Philadelphia schools, a man named David Hornbeck, and I asked him this question. How long do you need? How long does an urban superintendent need? He said 4 years.
To turn around a troubled school district.
The first year you're putting your team in place, he said. The second year you get baseline test scores that tell you how you're doing. The third year you're putting your curriculum and your reforms in place. And the fourth year you would get second year data to give you even an indication of how you're doing. But as we were just discussing, by that time the superintendent is usually off into his next job. There's a new person in charge bringing in their reforms by that time.
So there's a revolving door problem, whether your superintendent describes himself or herself as a reformer or not.
Sure. Let's take Los Angeles. If you're a senior in the LA Unified District this year, you are on your fifth superintendent since you started kindergarten in 2001.
And every single one of those people maybe came in saying, I need to change some things, go in a new direction, try to get reforms in place. And of course, there's some political turmoil each time there is a change. In fact, John Dacey in our interview pointed toward what he saw as a kind of reaction by teachers' unions and others opposed to the changes he wanted to make, kind of turning back the clock. Let's listen to a little bit of what he had to say.
We now have the three largest school systems, all of which now have been exited by a, quote, reformer and being led by either former employees, but certainly people who left their jobs, went into retirement, and came back at a significant age.
A significant age, he says, may be a reference to the fact that Dacey has been replaced by a former superintendent who's now in his 80s.
I don't think age has anything to do with it. There are superintendents who have succeeded at all different ages or failed. There are, however, powerful political forces at work, including teachers. There are 31,000 teachers in the Los Angeles School District. They're the people charged with carrying out whatever reforms are going to be in place. And their unions and the teachers themselves have a big voice. So too does the school boards. So too do mayors in urban districts. And those are often key factors in whether a superintendent thrives or gets shoved out.
Maybe we're hearing the real answer why so many superintendents don't last very long.
Yeah, and another interesting point, Steve, is that research out this year raises really good questions whether superintendents really have all that much effect when it comes right down to the classroom.
What do you mean?
Well, a study out from the Brookings Institution looked at superintendents and their effect on the actual student achievement, and it found a very minimal effect as to whether who's in the superintendent's chair really has an effect on what happens in the classroom.
You know, we begin with that word reformer. Is there any consensus about what really does work, what really can improve the performance of American schools?
Well, from the superintendent's point of view, I think the key thing is what these leaders can do is create the conditions for reform. They can create a stable environment with the teachers' union so there isn't a teacher strike all the time. They can get the budget under control. In Los Angeles, it's $6.78 billion. There are things that can be done that create the conditions for the real important people, the teachers and the principals, to do their jobs.
If the superintendent has time.
Exactly.
Stephen, thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.
That's NPR Steve Drummond of the Ed Team.